You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
Welcome to the Green Planet Monitor, voices and stories from a warm, wet planet. I'm Dave Kattenberg. Of all the staunchly pro-Israel Western powers who mouth support for a two-state solution to Israel's conflict with the Palestinian people, no one puts its money where its mouth isn't more than Canada. Ottawa's formal position seems straightforward, even just-minded. Canada, quote, recognizes the Palestinian right to self-determination, unquote, Foreign Affairs Canada declares at its website, and, quote, is committed to the goal of a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in the Middle East, including the creation of a Palestinian state living side by side in peace and security with Israel, unquote. Canada does not recognize permanent Israeli control over the Palestinian territories Israel has occupied for the past 57 years, colonizing them with its own citizens and effectively annexing them. Israel is an occupying power, Canada says, therefore subject to the Fourth Geneva Convention. Israel refutes this, of course, but its steadfast ally, Canada, begs to differ. All the more significant, Geneva 4 has been embedded in Canadian domestic legislation as the Geneva Conventions Act. Canada is absolutely bound to abide by it. As for those 300-plus settlements and outposts, now home to 750,000 Israeli Jews, these are illegal under Geneva 4, Canada declares, and, quote, constitute a serious obstacle to achieving a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace, unquote. Les colonies, Canada calls the settlements at its French language website. To be precise, Israeli colonies in the occupied territories breach Article 49.6 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. That is a grave breach under Geneva's 1977 Protocol Additional and a war crime under the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. Lest there be any doubt about its commitment to the rules-based international order, Canada's official position is that Israel, quote, must fully respect international human rights and humanitarian law, the sine qua non for creating, quote, a climate conducive to achieving a just, lasting, and comprehensive peace settlement, unquote. Thus goes Trudeau government lip service. In the first 2 months of Israel's genocidal assault on Gaza, Ottawa greenlit $28.5 million worth of military exports to Israel. Among these, bombs, torpedoes, rockets, missiles, and other explosive devices, and a variety of unmanned aerial vehicles and aviation hardware. In mid-September, with the death toll rising, Canada suspended 30 existing permits for weapons transfers to Israel, and it declared its opposition the transfer of 50,000 highly explosive mortars from Quebec to Israel via the United States. Still, in the midst of rising settler land theft and terrorism up and down the West Bank, the Canadian government continues to allow settlement products to be sold in Canada, effectively making them profitable, tariff-free under the Canada-Israel Free Trade Agreement, labeled Product of Israel, no less. And the Canada Revenue Agency, the CRA, grants charitable status to a host of Canadian organizations that funnel funds to Israeli settlement groups and to lone soldiers of the Israeli occupation forces, some of them Canadian. In 2022, over 200 registered Canadian charities funneled something like $362 million to Israeli organizations linked to the Israeli Army and Air Force, to Israeli government agencies, Jewish supremacist groups, and West Bank colonies in breach of CRA statutes. Now, a group of Canadian organizations are calling on the CRA to cut these groups off. They have reason to be optimistic about their prospects. On August 8th, Canada's most venerable Zionist charity and benefactor of the Jewish Colonization Project, the Jewish National Fund of Canada, had its status revoked. JNF appealed the decision, seeking judicial review at the Federal Court of Canada and requesting that the court expunge the publication of charitable status revocation in the Canada Gazette. The court doesn't have the jurisdiction to do this. Federal Court of Canada Justice White Novak ruled on November 8th, just this past Friday, dismissing the request. The court will now proceed to consider the remainder of JNF's judicial review application. Meanwhile, in a report released this past Friday, two Canadian groups, Just Peace Advocates and Independent Jewish Voices Canada, document millions of dollars in charitable donations funneled by ostensibly charitable Canadian groups to a handful of other Israeli organizations engaged in colonizing the West Bank and supporting soldier-settler violence against Palestinians. Just Peace Advocates and IJV are calling on the Canadian government to suspend the charitable status of these organizations and to carry out audits and criminal investigations of their activities under the guise of charity. Canadian funding for war crimes in occupied Palestine was publicly released at a press conference in Toronto this past Friday. In order of appearance, Alice Klein, a member of Independent Jewish Voices Canada, Anver Eman, professor of law and history at University of Toronto, Khaled Muammar, founder of the Canadian Arab Federation, and the report's co-author, Miles Howe, assistant professor of critical criminology at Brock University in southern Ontario. The press conference also featured a presentation by Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur on the human rights situation in the occupied Palestinian territories. Since the release of her most recent report to the UN Human Rights Council, Genocide as Colonial Erasure, it was called, Albanese has been the target of fierce attacks by Israel and its surrogates across Europe and North America. Listen up. Hear the voices.
Oh, welcome everyone. I'm Alice Klein, member of Independent Jewish Voices Canada, and welcome. It's in these dark times, it is my honor to be here today to present a positive initiative to relieve Canadian taxpayers from being unwitting accomplices to the horrific, massive carnage taking place in Gaza, Lebanon, and beyond. Our investigators have found a number of Canadian charities are violating the very essence of their charitable charter by amping up the funding, their funding of violence and human rights violations in Gaza and the West Bank through offering taxpayer-subsidized charitable tax receipts for donations. So today, based on the results of this extensive fiscal and legal research, we are releasing a new report. It's titled, Under the Guise of Charity, Canadian Funding for War Crimes in Occupied Palestine. And it's authored by Independent Jewish Voices Canada, Just Peace Advocates, and by co-writer Miles Howe of Brock University. And it's calling on the CRA to correct this illegal activity by removing the charity status of these organizations. To present all this to you, it is a great honor to have this esteemed panel, and who it is my pleasure to introduce. So we have Anver Eman, who's professor of law and history at the University of Toronto, and he is going to be discussing with us the charitable sector and the Canadian Revenue Agency. We have Khaled Muammar, the Palestinian-Canadian founder of the Canadian Arab Federation, and he will be discussing the various submissions made to the CRA as they relate to violence, harms, and harms on the ground in Palestine. And we also have with us, Dr. Miles Howe, who is the person who co-authored the report, who will be, I may have messed that up a little bit, will be presenting highlights from the report. And most awesomely, we have with us Francesca Albanese, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories occupied since 1967, and Francesca will be discussing the international legal dimension of complicity with the Israeli occupation, in particular as it relates to tax-deductible subsidized financial contributions by charities. We're also joined by many members of the public, thanks to the 10 organizations that are live streaming this press conference today, including Independent Jewish Voices Canada, Just Peace Advocates, World Beyond War, Palestinian Solidarity Network, If Not Now Toronto, Just Peace, Advocates, Occupy U of T Palestine, Showing Up for Racial Justice Surge, Queers for Palestine, Jews Say No to Genocide, and Justice for All Canada. So just before we get started, lastly, a few housekeeping items. We'll save all the questions from the media and broader public until the end. For media attending on the Zoom link, please use the Q&A feature to type in any questions you have for our panelists, and also please indicate the name of your media outlet. And for any members of the public attending any one of our 10 live streams, please type in any questions you have into the respective chats, and we'll ask the streamers to pass them on to you. And we'll be looking to Gur to handle the question period. So without further ado, I would like to invite Anver Eamon, a professor of law and history at U of T, to come to the stage.
Thank you very much. My name is Anver Eamon. I'm a professor of law and history here at the University of Toronto. Though trained as a medieval legal historian, one of my areas of research is, for the last few years, has been the law of charities. Some of you might be familiar with my work, where I co-authored a report in 2021 on CRA audits of Muslim-led charities, entitled Under Layered Suspicion. I was later privileged to be appointed by the Minister of National Revenue to sit on the advisory committee on the charitable sector, on which I've been a member for the last 2.5 years. Needless to say, my remarks here are in my individual capacity and do not represent those of the ACCS or its members. Nonetheless, I will be making reference to the fourth report of the ACCS just recently published, and based on a variety of research memos that are also available to the public. Today's press conference is focused on the findings of a newly issued report, and I'm grateful to the authors for sharing that report today. My role here is to help locate that report within a broader context of charities law and regulation. One of the curious realities of charity regulation is that since late 2001, charities, particularly those doing humanitarian work abroad, have been entangled in the web of national security. Canada's law on charities is often framed in terms of the common law purposes of advancing religion, advancing education, relief of the poor, and a catch-all category of public benefit. But what is not always known is that the Canadian government also views charities as a security threat, given their presumed vulnerability to terrorist financing. To be honest, this national security lens on charities is hardly unique to Canada, nor is it unique to the 20th or 21st centuries. A casual stroll through medieval legal history shows that charities have long been viewed in the Western and Eastern traditions as both vehicles of hope and vehicles of danger and threat. Of course, not all charities are treated this way. In its 2023 National Inherent Risk Assessment, Canada's Ministry of Finance explains that the charities that pose the greatest threat are also the ones that are doing humanitarian relief and development projects in those parts of the world that are in especially dire straits. What has concerned me for some time now is that our charities regulation model so emphasizes the preservation of national security that our regulatory regimes seem to undervalue humanitarian relief, development relief, all of which arise out of Canada's obligations and commitments to international humanitarian law. As our commitment to humanitarian law declines, we should not be surprised to learn that Canada's humanitarian charities have a harder and harder time doing their work. This is ironic and indeed alarming. Canada has long stood for the virtue of multilateralism, humanitarian relief, and peacekeeping, but in recent years, we have seen considerable scaling back of Canada's commitments to humanitarianism as a principle of regulation and oversight. Instead, a more narrow approach to national security and formalistic ideas of terrorism drive Canada's regulatory regime. Today's report offers a way to reverse that trend by insisting that Canada regulates its charity sector also by reference to the international and humanitarian legal norms to which Canada is obligated. The Government of Canada remains bound by customary international law, which includes long-held commitments to humanitarian law. Charities in Canada that enable the breach of those humanitarian legal regimes run afoul not only of Canada's international legal commitments, but also a core charities doctrine called public benefit. Whatever may be Canada's security or diplomatic interests, it cannot ignore the fact that it is a government ruled by law, and that law includes humanitarian and international law. The authors of this report remind us of that legal obligation and its implications for how Canada regulates its domestic charitable sector. Thank you very much.
And now it's my pleasure to introduce Khaled Momar, the Palestinian-Canadian founder of the Canadian Arab Federation, who has been part of making submissions with Just Peace Advocates to the CRA in regard to these five as well as many other charities. So please join us.
Thank you. I am grateful and honored to meet UN Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese on the unceded and traditional territory of the indigenous people of the Mississauga and Wendat nations. Francesca's exceptional commitment to human rights and international law and her opposition to racism, ethnic cleansing, and genocide is applauded not only by the oppressed indigenous Palestinian Semites, but by Canadians of all racial, ethnic, and religious backgrounds. The refusal of Canadian officials to meet with a UN expert on human rights in the occupied Palestinian territory marginalizes UN officials and institutions and sends a message that Palestinian identity and human rights can be ignored. This emboldens the Israel lobby and racists to intensify their promotion of anti-Palestinian racism by seeking to dismiss, disparage, silence, and demonize not only Palestinians, but pro-Palestine Canadians, and rationalize the violence inflicted upon them in societal, institutional, and political settings, as happened to a friend of mine, Dr. Yeping Ge, who was suspended by the University of Ottawa. Zionism is a racist European settler movement, and for more than 100 years has been trying to erase Palestinian history, cultural, and the diverse communities that have lived peacefully together in Palestine for thousands of years. The Zionist State of Israel was established in 1948 with British imperial support on 78% of Palestine by killing 15,000 Palestinians and forcibly expelling 800,000 to achieve a Jewish demographic majority to enable it to impose an apartheid system, and has since been unfortunately supported by Canada. My family was living in the city of Haifa in 1947, which had an Arab population of 70,000. Zionist militia attacks began and forced us, along with 68,000 of those 70,000, to flee the city, and my family sought refuge in Lebanon. Since then, I have been denied, as a Christian Palestinian Arab, the right to return because of my religious and ethnocultural identity in violation of UN Resolution 194 and Article 13 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. While any Jew or any convert to Judaism can move there and become a citizen. What is happening today in Palestine is a repeat of the 1948 Nakba, which is a catastrophe. Once again, Israel is trying, through destruction, starvation, forced displacement, and massacres, to force many Palestinians to leave the Gaza Strip and the West Bank to enable it to officially annex these territories while maintaining an apartheid system. As it did, and it has done that even since 1967, by annexing East Jerusalem in 1980 and the Golan Heights of Syria in 1981. The International Court of Justice ruled in July that this Israel occupation is illegal and should end, and that reparations must be paid to the Palestinians for the harm inflicted on them for over 57 years. The court's rulings also affirms that all states are under an obligation not to render financial, military, and political aid or assistance in maintaining Israel's unlawful occupation and colonization of Palestinian territory. States that do not comply with the court's ruling may be complicit in genocide. Along with members of Just Peace Advocates, Independent Jewish Voices, Solidarity for Palestine in St. John's, and Palestinian Jewish Unity, we have been over the last 2 years submitting many complaints to the Canada Revenue Agency requesting investigations of several registered charities for funding the Israeli government, its illegal settlements, and its military violation of all in violation of the Income Tax Act, official Canadian policy, and international law. These included the following charities: United Israel Appeal, Jewish Heritage Foundation of Canada, Mizrahi Organization of Canada, Neiman Foundation Canada, Ronan Harari Foundation, and others. I'm happy to report that we have been successful, at least in one of them, I and Rabbi David Mivasser, to have the Canada Revenue Agency revoke the charitable status of the Neiman Foundation, which funds illegal settlements and assassination unit called the Duvidan. In addition, we heard also that the United Jewish Fund was finally defunded. However, Canada must go one step further. There are at least 200 charitable organizations which are sending money to Israel. So Canada must immediately revoke the charitable status of any charitable organization that sends any Canadian dollars to Israel directly or through other Canadian charities. Because every Canadian dollar sent to Israel supports the Zionist apartheid regime in that country. This support subverts the orders of the United Nations and the highest court of the world. Canada's failure to stop the flow of taxpayers-supported money to Israel is contrary to international law and likely places Canada as being complicit with war crimes and crimes against humanity. Canada must act now and end the suffering, the apartheid, and the genocide that is killing a Palestinian child every half hour, must defend international law, preserve the rules-based international order, and hold Zionist Israel accountable for its flagrant violations of all relevant aspects of Canadian politics and international law. Thank you.
Thank you. And now, Dr. Miles Howe, who co-authored the report and is an adjunct professor in the Department of Sociology, Critical Criminology at Brock University.
Thanks very much. Before I start, I just want to say that the methodology behind this report is just based on open source data. So on Schedule 2 forms, every charity doing international work with intermediaries must disclose by name and dollar amount who those intermediaries are. CRA keeps that type of information on an open source database for the last 6 years. Beyond that, you can request multi-year data sets through access to information requests. So this is all, you know, primary source, verifiable data that the charities themselves are self-disclosing, hopefully. I'm going to just give you a quick rundown of the five charities and their activities that are contained within this report, and then I'll turn it over to Ms. Albanese. Number one, Mizrahi Organization of Canada, between 2007 and 2021, did not even name its Israeli intermediaries and simply moved over $40 million in Canadian subsidized donations to the country code Israel. So that money could have gone anywhere. In 2022 and 2023, it names hundreds of Israeli intermediaries. Turns out it's an illegal cash conduit for a website called jgive.com that hosts thousands of Israeli charities, many of which are bent upon Palestinian erasure and dispossession, many of which support materially and financially the Israeli military, and many of which are located in the illegally occupied territories. And so when you click on it's sort of like a clearinghouse for Israeli charities. When you click on one of these, jgive.com simply simplifies the donation process. Mizrahi Organization of Canada makes it very easy for you as a Canadian donor and simply issues you a tax receipt on their behalf. That's illegal under the Income Tax Act. It's acting as a conduit. It has no direction and control over where those donations go. It's simply a fundraising arm. And should have been revoked simply for that matter. When you look deeper into its schedule to Israeli recipients, you find dozens of them located in the illegal settlements, illegal under Canadian criminal code and illegal under international law. You find dozens of them bent upon Palestinian dispossession and erasure, including Regavim, which surveils and attempts to conduct legal warfare against Palestinians building in the occupied territories, Elad Ur David, which weaponizes archaeology in the town of Silwan and attempts to dispossess Palestinians living there. I could go on, but for the sake of time, I'll just move into the next charity. Jewish Heritage Foundation of Canada. If you Google international cash conduits and and real estate empires, a case study in philanthropic crime. Back in 2022, I discussed how Jewish Heritage Foundation of Canada was operating simply as what we call a burner charity. It was established in 1976, did little to no business between then and 2019 until its co-burners, Gates of Mercy and Beth Oloth, and some of the most high-profile charitable status revocations in Canadian history were simply revoked. It operates out of a house. It has no website, it has no social platform, and the vast majority of its donations come from upper-tier private foundations in Canada linked to real estate empires within the GTA and the Montreal area. If its donations are actually received in Israel, and specifically the ultra-Orthodox community of Lakewood, New Jersey, is entirely circumspect, it may simply be a money-laundering activity in entirety. But for the sake of this conversation, it does list some illegal entities, i.e. Israeli recipients in its Schedule 2 forms that are located in the illegal settlements, as well as the Hebron Fund, which actively works to empower and financially assist illegal settlements in Hebron itself. Moving on, the Ronan Hariri Foundation, unfortunately associated with Ronan Hariri, the CEO of Spin Master, the toy tycoon behind Paw Patrol. Its single donor is the Jerusalem Municipality. Needless to say that governments at all levels are not qualified recipients of charitable donations in Canada, but the Jerusalem Municipality itself is particularly problematic given that its municipal borders have swallowed up annexed East Jerusalem and portions of the occupied West Bank. Moving on, Canada Charity Partners, consider it the little brother of Mizrahi Organization, operating as a smaller scale illegal cash conduit, this time for the one-stop charitable shop known as IsraelGives.org, which operates in the same capacity as jgive.com. Makes no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about what these charities do, simply offers a catch-all for the Israeli charitable system, for which Canada Charity Partners offers Canadian tax-deductible donations for your Canadian donations to them. And finally, we have the Hesseg Foundation, run by investment tycoon Gerald Schwartz of Onyx Investments and his partner, Heather Reisman of Indigo Books and Music fame, offers up incentives in the way of scholarships towards lone soldier programs for Canadians who feel the need to go serve in the Israeli military, which the